Up next, we have our book reading program, Ohomoni Iyotaka, read by Gail Hubling.
The Long Knives Are Crying, a novel by Joseph M. Marshall III. Chapter 38, The Death Lodge. Like a hawk focused on a hapless rabbit, Gaul steered his black gilding toward the middle of the group of Crow scouts, staying low over the horse's neck and drumming both heels against the animal's side. His right arm hung loosely, somewhat relaxed, gripping the handle of the hatchet. His left hand held the braided rein and a clump of mane. Pinpoints of light flashed in his eyesight, muzzle blasts from rifles aimed directly at him. Low, angry hums buzzed past his head. Zoom! Zoom! Near misses. As he raced closer and closer to the enemy, the blast grew louder. Boom! 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 A few lighter cracks were pistol shots. Gaul felt his horse's hooves thudding on the ground. Nothing deterred him. Nothing would deter him. The image of the bodies of his wives and daughter would not go away. Bullet holes in them. Their blood seeping into the green grass, their blood even now drying on his arms. He might die today, sometime in the next few moments, but first someone would pay for the gaping hole in his heart. Judging that his horse might put him on top of his quarry in the next 3 or 4 strides, Gaul extended his right arm back in preparation for a blow. The figures in front of him were somewhat of a blur as he scrambled, dove, or sprinted to get out of his way. Picking out a scout wearing a tan shirt and running away, he swung his hatchet. Gaul felt a jolt in his right shoulder and heard a grunt of pain and surprise, but he did not see the man tumble to the ground. Veering his horse to the right, he intended to make a wide turn and charge again. Reaching a low clump of snakeberry bushes, he allowed the horse to slow down of its own accord. He saw the swatch of bright red on the blade of his hatchet and wondered why the scouts or long knives were not shooting at him. Then, as he finished the turn, he saw why. The west end of the enemy skirmish line was scattered. Scouts and long knives were running in several directions to avoid the onslaught that came behind Gaul. Mounted warriors swinging war clubs and firing six-shooters at point-blank range, their horses trampling a few unlucky scouts. Many of the scouts remounted and raced east. Some of the long knives were trying to remount or trying to catch their horses. Crazy Horse had been right. The instant Long Knives saw their scouts scatter, they were not far behind. Cloud burst through the line, trying to count his shots while staying focused on the moment. Swinging left, he realized that none of the scouts or Long Knives on the west end of the line, who were still standing, were facing them. They were retreating, running away, some mounted and others on foot. Taking advantage of the lull, he slowed his horse while glancing at the cylinder of his six-shooter to see the number of live rounds. He had 2 left. Feeling along his belt, he reassured himself that he had 2 spare cylinders. On his left, a rider caught up to him. "Crow and Arikara, I think," Black One said, pointing at the departing scouts. "I noticed," Cloud replied. "This is a different bunch of long knives." Another rider appeared. Crazy Horse was checking his ammunition as well. "We need to keep after them," he said. Some of the Lakota charges had already turned and were whipping their horses after the fleeing enemy. A broad-shouldered rider with braids flying behind him flashed past them on a black horse. It was Gaul. "We need to follow him," Crazy Horse said, and put his horse into a lope. Cloud and Black Moon did the same. The east end of the enemy line was near a group of low-growing oak trees and thickets of chokecherry. Horntail was belly down in tall grass, crouching behind a low thicket. He had been helping Bear pick out targets because the enemy was far beyond effective bow range. As his cousin took time to reload, Horntail kept his eyes on the long knives. "Something is happening," he said, craning his neck above the grass. "Be careful," Bear cautioned as he rammed the ball down the barrel. "They are not firing this way," Horntail told him. "What does that mean?" Horntail lifted himself higher above the grass and looked west. He had a notion that the mounted charge might have disorganized the long knives, and he was right. The enemy skirmish line was in disarray. Riderless horses were running east toward the river. Behind them came several mounted long knives. "I think they are running," Horntail said. They heard running footsteps swish through the grass, and then Little Feather ducked down beside them. "See that?" he asked. "What should we do?" Horntail looked behind toward the trees where they had tied their horses. He was gone. Horntail looked behind toward the tree where they had tied their horse. He was gone. He had probably broken or slipped out of his halter, frightened by the gunfire. He was not a trained warhorse. More and more warriors were arriving from the camps, most of them mounted and heading directly toward the enemy. "Look!" shouted Little Feather, pointing. To the south, the Long Knives were in full flight, some turning back to fire at their pursuers. Shouts arose along the line of warriors on foot, and they rose out of the tall grass to join the pursuit. Little Feather jumped to his feet. "Come on!" he shouted and started running. Horntail took a moment to string his bow and hang the quiver of arrows in place. "Come on!" he urged Bear.